I want to talk about being a courageous people. And I think there's so much that we can learn from Daniel about being courageous. So just to give us a little bit of an understanding of what's going on when we read this passage, which if you're listening to this recording, we've just read Daniel chapter 1. In 586 BC, the Temple of Jerusalem was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. We can sort of read a bit more about it in 2 Chronicles, where it says in chapter 36, 18 to 20, and then he plundered the temple of everything valuable, cleaned it out completely. He emptied the treasuries of the temple of God, the treasuries of the king and his officials, and hauled it all, people and possessions, off to Babylon. He burned the temple of God to the ground, knocked down the wall of Jerusalem, and set fire to all the buildings. Everything valuable was burned up. Any survivor was taken prisoner into exile in Babylon and made a slave to Nebuchadnezzar and his family. The exile and slavery lasted until the kingdom of Persia took over. So the people are now living in exile, so this isn't really happy days. And as we read, this is a consequence of the people's disobedience to God. So the Temple of Jerusalem has been destroyed. The great Jerusalem has been defeated. And we know that Daniel was a Judean exile at the court of Babylon. He was taken there as a boy a few years earlier than Ezekiel. And Daniel was in the first main batch of exiles. So we read about Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, which we know as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. If you've heard my album, that was funny. Obviously, it's not if you haven't. There were 4 of the young men chosen, all from the tribe of Judah, and they were to be trained for 3 years, chosen for royal service. So we think that, to be chosen for this, they may have been good looking and have had a natural ability. Now, the first thing that I want to say that we learn from Daniel about being a courageous people is that a courageous people are determined not to compromise. And I'm just going to read out the Message translation from verse 6 of chapter 1. 4 young men from Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were among those selected. The head of the palace staff gave them Babylonian names. Daniel was named Belteshazzar, Hananiah was named Shadrach, Mishael was named Meshach, Azariah was named Abednego. But Daniel determined that he would not defile himself by eating the king's food or drinking his wine. So he asked the head of the palace staff to exempt him from the royal diet. The head of the palace staff, by God's grace, liked Daniel, but he warned him, "I'm afraid of what my master the king will do. He is the one who assigned this diet, and if he sees that you are not as healthy as rest, he'll have my head." But Daniel appealed to a steward who had been assigned by the head of the palace staff to be in charge of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. "Try us out for 10 days on a simple diet of vegetables and water. Then compare us with the young men who eat from the royal menu. Make your decision on the basis of what you see." And so we read that the steward agreed to do it. So here, if you're not quite sure what's going on, basically, the Babylonians did not observe Jewish rules on clean and unclean food. So we read about those in Leviticus 11. And also, they didn't drain away the blood when they slaughtered animals, which we can read about in Leviticus 17:10. And I want to go back to in verse 8 where it says, "But Daniel determined that he would not defile himself." The King James Version says he purposed in his heart. And that Hebrew word there, sum, it means to determine or to fix or to commit. So that's what the Hebrew actually means there. And what I want to ask us this morning, church, is are we determined not to compromise our values? Are we fully committed to doing things in the way that God has instructed us to do them, even when that's not the way of doing things around us? And if you're not sure what I mean by compromise or what I'm really talking about, I'm talking about choosing not to compromise our values. So choosing not to do things in a way that is not fully what God desires for us. Does that make sense? So, for example, it might be, you know, you've been told to do something that you know isn't right, so you choose not to compromise. Do you look for a better way? You know, when you know in your spirit that something isn't quite what God desires you to do, you know, do you listen and do you choose not to compromise and to listen to what God is saying and do things his way? So are our hearts going to be fixed on living fully for God, not compromising any of our kingdom values? You see, they weren't prepared, Daniel and his friends, to compromise God's law, which was God's commands. And are we prepared to compromise God's commands if it makes things easier for us or gets us somewhere? You see, here, by not compromising, it actually made things better for them. But they didn't know that was definitely going to be the case in the story that we read in Daniel. And neither do we. But whatever the future may bring, a courageous people choose not to compromise kingdom values. Daniel could have just gone along with eating the food that he was given. And I think, you know, if they were afraid, maybe they did feel some fear at that point. Maybe Daniel was a little bit afraid. We don't know for certain because it doesn't tell us exactly how he felt. But Daniel still chose to speak with the steward. We might be a little bit afraid sometimes, but let's still choose not to compromise our values. He could have thought, I don't really want to have to do that. I'll just go along with things as they are. I can get away with it on this occasion. But Daniel chose to actively follow the instructions from the Lord. He doesn't just go with what everyone else is doing or what the norm is. And you may say, well, would that have necessarily been wrong? Was it really a big deal? You know, if they did ignore God's commands, would he have, you know, smited them really? But, you know, it pleases God when we make an active choice or effort to stay true to his ways and to honour his commands and instructions. And we can be a courageous people by being a people who are determined not to compromise on God's commands in any situation. Let's determine it in our hearts that we will do all that we can to follow his ways. Will we actively follow God's instructions, his word, in a world or in a context where that is not the norm? So you might think, well, it's okay for me to just join in a bit of church gossip because everybody does that. Oh, it's okay. I only joined in a little bit of the conversation. Well, it's okay for me to dress like this because nowadays it's a different culture and everybody, you know, dresses like this. Well, it's a different context at work, so, you know, it's okay for me to use a bit of foul language now and then. And it's okay for me to speak ill of the boss. You know, everybody does it, really. It's just normal. Well, everyone has been told that this is what you need to do, so I'm going to do it. That's not who we are. We actually need to make that effort to do things God's way, not to compromise, even if we are the only one doing things his way. A courageous people are not defined by circumstances. You see, Daniel doesn't allow his circumstances to control his behaviour, his response, or to change his beliefs. And as a courageous people, we don't allow our circumstances to define us. They don't define who we are. We can't control our circumstances, but we can choose whether or not we allow our circumstances to control our behaviour. One of my old teachers, Dr. Carol Alexander, has a lovely saying. She says, you are the guardian of your own heart. You can't control what people do to you or what things might happen to you, but you're in control of your heart, of your response. And my favourite preacher, and I'll stop there because I know he'll be embarrassed, says, which is my dad, he says, my circumstances tell you nothing about me, but how I manage my response to my circumstances tells you everything about me. You see, Daniel's circumstances at this point say he's defeated, he's a prisoner. But how he handles his circumstances says he's victorious in God. He's courageous. He's obedient to God. When it comes to our circumstances, are we going to whinge? Or are we going to get on with living for God? Because that's what Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael and Azariah did. And they did it boldly and courageously. And they actually proved to be the most superior men in training. I find it interesting, actually, that we don't hear them whinge. You know, there's no passage of a bit of a whinge, you know, saying, you know, how are we ever going to see God's goodness in this situation? Oh, God, you know, what has happened? How will we survive? But no, they actually choose not to be deterred by pain or anger. They are bold and courageous. A courageous people choose to respond full of faith. You see, we see that Daniel and his friends, their response to their situation is one which is full of faith. And I want to challenge us, will we also be so courageous that our response in the darkest and the most challenging or discouraging of circumstances is full of faith? How are we dealing with what may be happening to us? Let's speak to our situation, our difficult situation, and say, hey, I'm going to make it through this because God is with me. And you know, this is what these guys do. Daniel chapter 3, we read about the gold statue. And it says, you know, King Nebuchadnezzar made a gold statue 90 feet high and 9 feet wide. He set it up on the plain of Jura in the province of Babylon. You may want to turn there if you've got your Bibles to Daniel 3. King Nebuchadnezzar sent word to assemble the satraps, prefects, governors, advisers, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to attend the dedication of the statue King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And it goes on to say how everybody had been told to bow down to, you know, the statue, and Daniel's friends refuse. And as a result, they are thrown into a fiery furnace. And I just want to read, I love this bit. I'm just going to read from verse 15 from chapter 3. Now, if you're ready, when you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, drum, and every kind of music, fall down and worship the statue I have made. But if you don't worship, you will immediately be thrown into a furnace of blazing fire. And who is the God who can rescue you from my power? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. And we read about how King Nebuchadnezzar is filled with rage. They're thrown into the furnace. And then we read this fantastic account of how they were delivered, of how they were rescued from the fiery furnace. And King Nebuchadnezzar sees the four bodies in there. And he's like, didn't he put only three in the fiery furnace? And they're rescued. And what an inspiration to us to be a courageous people who, again, choose not to compromise. See, everyone else is bowing down, but not them. They refuse. Folks, does it feel like everybody else is bowing down to the idol? Everyone else is doing it. Let's be the ones that refuse to bow down. Yeah. Let's be the ones that refuse to compromise our values in the face of death, in the face of danger, in the face of persecution, because we serve only one God. And, you know, Daniel's friends, they knew that, and they refused to bow down to another idol. May we refuse to bow down to the idols of this world. When the world tells us this is what you're to do, we say no, because this is God's way, and this is the way that we will do things, because we serve the one true almighty God. This world can mock us, it can persecute us, but we will worship our God. The idols of this world we will not bow down to. A courageous people trust in God. They choose to trust in God for their deliverance, which is exactly what Daniel and his friends do. They say, But even if God does not rescue us, I love that. They're still prepared to do it. Even if God doesn't rescue us, they're still prepared to be thrown into the flames and be burned alive. You know, we all have little doubts from time to time. You know, what if God doesn't heal this person? What if God doesn't rescue me from this situation? What if God doesn't provide this thing that I needed? But you know, when we have those little doubts, will we still live courageously for God and be completely dedicated to Him? Even if they lost their lives, they were willing to give it their all. It's kind of a bit like the widow's offering attitude, isn't it, that I spoke about the other week. They were willing to give everything for God. And church, I want to challenge us, will we be obedient when we can't see what will happen next? Even if it feels like we're headed for disaster, even if it feels like actually because of our obedience, we're going to get thrown into that fiery furnace. You know, I'm grateful to have had parents that have always prepared me and always said to me as well, you know, one day as a Christian, you might have to give your life for God. You know, and they told us as we were kids, we were well educated about what's going on in the world and different faiths and religions and, you know, persecution of Christians. And, you know, as I speak now, people are giving their lives for the kingdom. And I will admit, it frightens me when I think about the way that the world is headed, and we see these things on the news, don't we? And, you know, church, would we be willing to give our lives? Would we be willing to say, no, we serve the one true God, even if that means death for us? And how good to know that actually we have the promise of eternal life in that situation. So they choose to trust in God. And you know, you might feel like you're going to be headed for disaster by being obedient to God and dedicated to Him. You know, I could tell you some interesting stories from my life about when I've chosen to be obedient to God. I could tell you some stories of people or spirits that have tried to hurt me and my family. But do you know what? We're still here. And God's still with us. And God has delivered us. He's delivered us from sickness. He's healed me through pain. And I'm stronger, I'm wiser, and I'm better than before. Church, we're still here. Yeah. Come on, is somebody happy about it? We're still here, church. We've made it through. And even if we weren't to make it through tomorrow, even if we were to die tomorrow, we'll do things God's way. We will be obedient to Him and refuse to compromise the kingdom values. A courageous people are determined to worship. We've been singing that song recently, Total Praise. Lord, I will lift mine eyes to the hills, you know, knowing my help, it comes from you and you're the source of my strength. And, you know, I'll lift my hands in total praise to you. And, you know, I just want to challenge us, church, will we be willing even in the dark situations like Daniel and his friends faced or the scary situations, will we be determined to praise God and to worship Him? You know, later, after this story that we read in Daniel, we read about how he's thrown into the lion's den because he prays and the law comes into effect where he's not supposed to pray to God. And he doesn't say, oh, you know, I've not been praying really, or, you know, pretend or lie or backtrack. You know, he's prepared to be thrown into a lion's den for praying to God. And will we be a people who give God total praise, even in danger, even if it costs us our lives, even if it costs us, you know, just sort of speaking about our normal week, even if it costs us our reputation, you know, even if it makes us not cool, less accepted, you know, will we still be a people who give God total praise in everything that we do? Even in the face of lions, will we stand firm and be determined to worship our God? You know, I sing that song so good, even in the darkest of days, I'll give Him all of my praise. You know, sometimes we might feel discouraged, we might feel disappointed, we might feel disillusioned, we might feel opposed, you know, like we have lots of opposition. or we might feel, you know, the pain of persecution. But may that never, ever stop us from praising the Lord. You know, King David says in the Psalms about how his lungs expand with, you know, my lungs expand with your praise. I'll worship you all of my days. I think that's Psalm 32, and I just want to encourage us, you know, to be a people who are determined to worship despite bad news, despite what we read on the news, despite our questions, that nothing stops us from giving God all the praise that he's due. That means we don't stop praying. We don't stop reading our Bible. We don't stop lifting our hands. We don't stop thanking God for who he is, for what he's done. We don't stop recognising the fact that he is our God. A courageous people speak the truth in love. You know, there's so much that we could say about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, but this is one thing that I love and I think is a challenge to us all, is how Daniel actually speaks the truth in love. When we look at Daniel chapter 4, King Nebuchadnezzar puts him on the spot to interpret one of his dreams. And verse 19, it shows us, if you've got Daniel chapter 4, you may just want to turn. Verse 19 shows us that Daniel was devastated or stupefied by his thoughts. Basically, he didn't actually want these bad events to happen to Nebuchadnezzar. And that is, wow, so challenging, isn't it? And inspiring that despite all that Daniel had been through, his heart was not cold or full of bitterness towards Nebuchadnezzar. And that challenged me when I read this, because I thought, man, how would I feel? I think I'd find it very difficult not to feel full of bitterness and anger towards Nebuchadnezzar after what he'd done. But despite all that's happened, Daniel does not take pleasure in delivering a message of judgment. And you know, with what Daniel says, he could have chosen to hold back details, to put his own twist on the interpretation of the dream, or to have changed details of it less uncomfortable to deliver. However, Daniel speaks the truth after making it clear that he does not desire for Nebuchadnezzar to go through this. And he also gives some helpful advice. And you know, as a courageous people, we speak the truth in love, but we forgive courageously. May we be a people that are known to be full of the Holy Spirit, that forgive courageously, courageously demonstrating and delivering the word of God with a heart of love towards others. And you know, as a courageous people, we minister out of a heart of love. We don't take pleasure in delivering a message of judgment, or, you know, we don't take pleasure in the judgment of others. Daniel here, I think, shows such boldness in the way that he actually forgives. And I want to challenge us, church, will we forgive like Daniel did here? So will we be a courageous people? Firstly, are we going to respond to our challenges full of faith? You might say, well, how do we do this? I don't really feel full of faith at the moment. You know, if you don't feel full of faith and you like music, listen to a song called Faith by Andre Crouch. Kim Burrell sings it. And, you know, it talks about needing faith and asking God for faith. You know, if you feel low in faith, talk to God about it. Ask God to help you. Get some good Christian friends around you, some good people in the church. Fix your mind on who God is, on what he's done, and remember what God says. And that helps us to respond to our challenges full of faith. You see, the devil or this world might say you're defeated, but God says you're victorious in him. Amen? Your illness may say you're defeated, but God says you're victorious because he is healer. And hey, even if you weren't healed, you have a promise of eternal life. Your bank balance might say you're poor, but what does God say? You're rich. Yeah, you're rich in him. We look to what God says, not anything else. Forget what this world says. We remember what God says in those challenging situations, in those frustrating situations, in those disappointing situations, in those dangerous situations. Look to what God says, not what your circumstances say. You know, the dictionary definition of courageous, if you Google it, is not deterred by danger or pain. And we certainly see Daniel, Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego not deterred by danger or pain, don't we? And will we also be a courageous people who are not deterred by danger or pain? Let's be honest, we all experience pain. Some of us might even feel it right now at this moment. Psalm 56:8 says, "You yourself have recorded my wanderings. Put my tears in your bottle." You know, the Lord knows our pain. He knows the pain that is in each and every one of us hearts, or might be in your heart. Life will bring pain. There's going to be pain in this life. But we must not allow it to defeat us. Instead, we say, "Pain, walk away. Here comes love." We must overcome it. You know, there's a lot of pain. We sing that song, don't we, that Godfrey Bertel does. There's a lot of pain, but a lot more healing.
Yeah.
Have a hopeful heart this morning and rejoice, because there's a lot of pain, but there's a lot more healing.
Yeah.
Was it easy what Daniel and his men went through? I imagine it must have been quite painful at times. But they were not deterred by danger or pain. Church, let's not allow our pain, discouragement, bad news, or disappointment to deter us from our mission. Amen. I'm going to say that again. Let's not allow our pain, our discouragement, bad news, sickness, disappointment to ever deter us from our mission. Are you facing a fiery furnace? Maybe you are today. Maybe you're facing a lion's den. Take heart, because God is with you. If you're in the fiery furnace right now, he's right in there with you. I want to read out Matthew 16:17. And Jesus responded, "Simon, son of Jonah, you are blessed because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the forces of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth is already loosed in heaven." You know, we may lose some battles. We might have questions about why things are happening the way they are. You know, I imagine for Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, it must have felt not fair at times. You know, we may be discouraged at times by things that happen, and we might actually lose some battles. It's not easy when we lose people that have been sick that we've been praying for. It's not easy when things don't work out the way that we'd hoped or we'd asked God about. It might feel sometimes like we lose some battles, but ultimately, we have the victory. And Jesus said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against this church."
Amen.
Be encouraged this morning. Say it with me. The gates of hell shall not prevail. And again, the gates of hell shall not prevail. Now, I think that helps us. It helps me. Sometimes, if you maybe feel afraid of inviting someone to church, afraid of choosing not to compromise your values, afraid of being the one that says, "Actually, I refuse to listen to this gossip. This is not what God desires, and I'm leaving the room." Or afraid to say, "Actually, this isn't right. I'm not going to do it," and walk away. Are you prepared to maybe leave your job? Maybe you're being asked to do things that you know are requiring you to compromise your values and do things in a way that are dishonest or, you know, not godly? Are we prepared not to compromise our values and to be obedient to God? Because we can be so encouraged that the gates of hell shall not prevail against this church. You know, I was so... Who was encouraged at the prophetic conference last weekend? I was so encouraged. You know, somebody prayed for me and they said to me, you'll never have to beg for bread. And, you know, I was so encouraged. Because what a reminder it was to me that God will always provide for you, no matter what the situation. And if you have to walk out of your job and you don't know when where you're going to go next, if you have to lose friends because you're going to choose to do things God's way, don't be discouraged because God's with you. And do you know what? He'll take you where you need to go. He'll be with you. He'll provide you. And you know, we never lose out. We never miss out when we choose to be obedient. When we choose to be a courageous people, we can never lose out. Let's pray. Lord God, we just thank you so much for your goodness to us. We thank you that you are a God who is able.
Yes.
Lord, we thank you that we can trust and rely on you in every situation. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, that you said the gates of hell shall not prevail against your church. And so, Lord, we remind ourselves this morning that we stand in victory. And, Lord, we say that we want to be an obedient and courageous people who are not willing to compromise our values, the things you have instructed us to do, the way you have instructed us to be, no matter what we are facing. In this dark and troubled world, may we never allow fear of persecution to stop us from speaking your word and reaching out to those who need to turn to you. May we always choose your way above anything that the world could ever offer us. Amen. I just want to encourage you just to keep your heads bowed for a moment. And while every eye is closed, if you're in here this morning and you don't know what it is to have a personal relationship with Jesus, then now is your opportunity to tell him that you'd like to get to know him and to invite him into your heart. If that's you this morning, if you feel that you'd like to give this a try, if maybe you don't really know what I'm talking about, but you feel like you might need God in your life, I just want to encourage you to raise your hand. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, only I'm looking. Okay, now I'm going to close my eyes. Thank you, Lord. You can open your eyes now. You know, it's easy to give in this world. And I just want to say, don't allow what I've said this morning, don't allow the devil in to guilt trip you now and make you feel bad because maybe you've been struggling with some of this. Because that's what the enemy wants. But you know, God is a forgiving and gracious God. And we've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all made mistakes. We've all maybe compromised at times in ways that we shouldn't have done. But we can walk out these doors from now on and we can have that determined attitude that we will be determined to be courageous. And it's easy to give in this world that is around us. But you know, God gives us the strength that we need. Even when statistically, you know, people might say, well, how could you ever... you know, how could you ever remain pure in this way? You know, you can. God will help you. And I just felt led to slip that in there. So I'm going to pass back over to my favourite preacher now.